back, everybody. This is another episode of the Sports Desk. I think we can just go ahead and just take off the YBEB, just call it the Sports Desk because that's what it is. I am Greg. Who are y'all?
I'm Cashley. What's up, y'all?
I am Lou. What's going on, y'all?
Well, welcome back. Happy 2014. I'm sorry, 2024. Hopefully y'all are doing well. I wish it was 10 years ago, but that was a story for another day. I guess we can just pretty much hope that you all are doing all your New Year's resolutions and keeping those up and not making bad mistakes. Some of us have, but outside of that, I think we can do a really brief catch up with everybody. I don't need to personally. I think I did enough in the pre-show. Let's start with Cashley. Cashley, how have you been? How is the new home? How's the new
house? Oh man, it is wonderful. Sometimes I'm just in a state of awe, like, wow, I'm really a homeowner. It's really real. I made my first mortgage payment.
Yep.
So it's good, really, yeah, it's really real. I think the property taxes came out and all of that. So it's real, but it's wonderful. It's a blessing for real.
Yeah. Like, homeowning is, it's fun. It's exciting. It gets bad. There's the good and the bad, but that feeling of this is mine feels good. Like, so again, congratulations to you. What about you, Lou? How are you been, sir?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing good. For those that didn't know, real quick, for the past month or so, because I haven't been on a couple of the shows, my wife had surgery back in August, and she was just having, it just popped up out of nowhere. She was having, kind of troubles with it and everything, but everything's good. We went to the doctor, everything like that, had a couple appointments. She's doing much better now, healthy, no problems whatsoever. So, had to take care of mine. So that's why I wasn't on the show, but good new year, good Christmas. And fun to be back.
Well, welcome back. We're hoping that your family as well, your wife as well, all the things. I guess from my end really quick, I do have a 3-year-old still, and it's showing. She's definitely showing a little bit of favoritism and who she likes and dislikes. And she likes to play sides. Work is going pretty well. My boss and I are definitely doing better. When I say better, she's learning me and giving me more responsibilities, slowly but surely, which is good. And that trust is being developed. I think she was kind of jaded about kind of handing off work to other people. But now she's like, okay, he can handle this. And it's no better feeling than that. So I'm really grateful in that regard. But I'm definitely going to be asking for a bonus, knowing that there's more that could be, spent on me financially, especially since I'm essentially doing two roles. But we need to get straight into the show. I think we should start with wrestling, but I just want to, knock something off of the checklist of the docket, which is the gambling, right? Lou and I, and formerly Q, we would gamble heavily on sports. And we had a list, a very long list of things that we would bet on that were just bad. People that we're like, we're never betting on them again, to the point where Lewis had to remind me, hey, we don't bet on this guy, right? Yeah. Like, we don't bet on Kyle Kuzma threes. We don't bet on Jordan Poole ever. Like,
right.
We don't bet on Anthony Davis on a back-to-back. Like, there's certain people we know for a fact we don't bet on. But what was really alarming to me is the fact that we all know gambling is kind of fixed, it's kind of rigged, but now it's started to affect games in a way that has people looking at now not just the refs, but the players, because now the players are invested in it. There was a game, and we won't have a really extensive NBA segment, but I'll just say this in the gambling segment, where there was a play that happened in a Golden State game where the players were upset that a player actually took a shot and made it because it went against the spread. Mm. Which means the entire world actually does gamble. And like when I first started doing this back in, what was this, 2022, Lou, when I first started actually like gambling, I was doing small bets there. Like, okay, here's a quarter. Then I started upgrading to $5, $10, $20 bets and shit. And now I'm back on, you know, pennies and dimes because now I'm starting to realize how rigged this shit is. But when players are kind of upset at the gambling, and then when you go to these sports books and even they aren't giving you profits, like I haven't received a deposit bonus in 6 months. I haven't gotten a deposit match in probably longer than that. And more importantly, there are these hooks that are starting to happen where, say if you schedule somebody to have 25 points, they have 24 in the third quarter and they just won't score again. It makes you believe either one or two things happens. One, the ball has magnets in it, and it only involves, you know, somebody controlling the ball when certain people have it, or it's rigged. And that's personally how I feel about it. But I also know the trade-off is I'm so invested now in the gambling aspect of sports. If I would ever quit, like just throwing a couple dollars or, you know, a couple pennies or whatever into a game, I don't really care for it. And I think sports know that. Like people who watch sports or like interact with sports, I don't think it's as fun without the gambling aspect of it. And I'll tie it in at the end, but how do you feel about it, Lou? How do you feel about the gambling and the woes of that?
You just said it right there at the end. It's like, you know, during the day when I'm at work, I'm, you know, periodically looking at my phone, Twitter, different sports sites, everything, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I'm like, damn, there's only like two college basketball games on. Well, I guess I'll bet on them. I'm going to give you something to watch tonight. You know? Because, I mean, that's, you know, it's almost like a routine now where, you know, you're just, you know, you get home and you're just like, all right, this is on. And all right, well, of course, tonight the college national championship game's on. So, you know, had to throw a couple bucks on it anyway. You never know. So,
exactly.
But yeah, it my wife's not like too happy about it, to be honest. But you know, I'm not like going crazy with it. I'm not gonna sit here and say it controls me. It's fun. That's all I know is it's fun.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's one of those days, and I don't know if you've been there yet or not. I think you have a couple times or not.
Yeah.
But when you get that hit, when you get that nice, you know, that nice win, it feels good. You know what I mean? You feel proud of yourself.
Yeah.
So hopefully that day's coming for me too.
Yeah. Like it needs to happen. Like I've had a few lucks, but then I ruin it by just throwing it right back at them. Like, hey, by the way, I won like 150, but here's like 60 trying to triple it or try to quad it because I'm betting. And what I've learned is now I only want to do live bets. I stopped doing the first baskets. I started just doing live bets because they can't rig it anymore. They can't go and just say, hey, by the way, this person's just out in the third quarter, or this person won't play the entire game. Like Gabe Davis yesterday for, you know, week 18, all of a sudden he just didn't play after the first quarter. A little bit crazy. I still stand on this, and I guess we can like segue into it. I would personally like to see how they handle like sports betting for like WWE and wrestling, because we know it's a story and everything like that, but I think it would make it more fun knowing that it could change at the end. And it would add so many different outcomes. With that being said, here we are at the wrestling segment, and the tie-in was perfect, marvelous, chef's kiss. Yes.
Cash. Good job.
Yeah. How do we feel about wrestling, day one Raw, and even going back, because it's been a few weeks, into the end of 2023? Did the end of 2023 wrestling, like, all factions, was it good, bad? And then how are you feeling with 2024?
Let's see, for 2023 towards the tail end, to be honest, I watched less WWE outside of the public live events and maybe SmackDown, and watched more New Japan. where do I stand with WWE at this point? I don't know. It feels extra predictable at this point. I don't know where some of the storylines are going. I zone out a lot of the times. Like Monday Night Raw will be on TV and it's like, you don't start watching me after a while. Like I'll totally zone out. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, The Rock came back for SmackDown. And I was totally uninterested. He challenged Roman. And I'm sure that I know that's what we were all waiting for, but it's like, I'm over it now.
Yeah.
I'm over Roman's title reign. The Rock, he's The Rock.
Right.
You'll always be excited to see The Rock, right?
Yeah.
But him coming back into a ring doesn't excite me at all. Because I kind of feel like at this point, y'all have so much other talent. There's talent they didn't let go. I mean, I'm still upset about them letting Mustafa Ali go. Mm-hmm. I'm still upset about that. I still haven't fully grasped the fact that CM Punk is back. Yeah, that was a huge pop when he walked out. I know hell has frozen over, but it's like, I mean, I'm still not sure what to think of it. I think the women's division, they out of the most, they hold my attention. So that's a good thing. But yeah, my focus has been mainly Japanese wrestling, to be honest with you. And that's pretty much carried me in the early 2024. So yeah, as far as WWE goes, The Rock came back. He challenged Roman. Now, when this match is going to happen, who knows? Somebody's saying Elimination Chamber in Perth, Australia. I don't really see The Rock doing an Elimination Chamber. I don't see it.
Yeah.
No, I think he's probably only do WrestleMania, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, that's what I think. Or at the minimal, a Royal Rumble. But there's a scheduled four-way match for the Royal Rumble now. Randy Orton.
Wait, what? Oh, God.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants Randy to get it. Yeah.
Right. So that's going to be at the Royal Rumble. But, what do you guys think about as far as, like, you know, your 2023 thoughts on wrestling? I know we enjoyed a lot of public live events, but overall, what did you think of 2023 in wrestling?
Okay, good. Actually, no, you go ahead, Luke, because if I say anything, it's going to be rude.
The only thing I was going to say is, like, you know, I know, like, maybe it's just, like, the old school person in me, but, like, the way that The Rock challenged Roman, like what he was saying, you know, when he was like, I'm going to go get something to eat. Do I sit at the bar? You know, and the way he just said, or do I sit at the head of the table? I thought that I still got goosebumps. I don't know why. Like, maybe it's just like the old school, like, you know, fan in me, but I just thought that was really cool. But Ashley's right. You know, how much can he do in a ring, you know, anymore? So I'd rather watch a Rock promo than a Rock match anymore.
And, you know, I'm going to agree. I'm not going to say too much. All I'll say is it's giving me Hogan returning for that last hurrah situation for me. And who was it that did he fight? He fought The Rock, right? Like,
yeah, he fought it was The Rock, a change in the guard.
So it just feels like The Rock is kind of doing that, but it's like he's not doing it he's too far gone from passing the torch to Roman. It would be like Roman passing it back to The Rock. And we all know that the only reason, when I say we all, Greg feels as though the only reason that The Rock is back is exactly what I said last year. I was like, The Rock's only going to be coming back because all of his movies have bombed and he has to wait until the last Fast and the Furious movie comes out. He blew Black Adam, so that's done. He's pretty much done at DC. He doesn't have any like real movies that are happening as a result of how he treated the Black Adam situation. So until Fast comes back, he has some free time. And now that Vince is out of the picture, he'll come back because there's money to be made. And the issue is, it's 2 years too late. Like, that's a pandemic. Mm-hmm. That's a game-changing WrestleMania match. I know this is going to sound really fucking, like, crazy to say, but if that match would have happened at that, like, that Thunderdome type of WrestleMania, I would have been just as intrigued about that match. If they would have had even the Austin match with KO one night, and then they had, you know, Rock and Roman the second night, that would have been hands down the best WrestleMania weekend ever. Like, it could have been. But I think people are still kind of jaded at Rock versus Cena 2. We don't want to see that. And I don't want to see it because my own selfish reasons of my favorite wrestlers shouldn't still be wrestling and I'm a father. Like, they can help. They can be valets. They can have, like, that go away match like Austin had, right? Give me a little bit of nostalgia and then go the fuck away.
Right.
We know for a fact if Rock comes back, he's going to be back till SummerSlam. And the only reason is because they can't get our homeboy, Brock, to do anything. Because he's even said, bro, like, y'all been doing this for 5 years now. Can we stop making me fight this guy? Because you're building him up to be like this, you know, this impossible to beat person after I beat him for 2 years.
Right.
He's held the belt so long that people have left the company, gone to another company, and they came back to this company. Do you know how crazy that is to know? Like,
right.
CM Punk has had a failed career everywhere he's been and then came back. And they're like, okay, either we can feed you Roman or we can feed Roman to Rock. And, you know, just leave it that way. It really sucks to know that they had to essentially strip him of a title and give it to somebody else, talking about Seth, because people are like, yo, I'm not watching this anymore. It's not entertaining. It's not fun. It's not what we as fans want, right? And it just hurts to know that, like, I see so much promise in WWE, but I've started, like, you know, when you told me to watch, I was like, I have to watch the replays. And a lot of these wrestlers, I don't know, because I'm, again, jaded about my favorite wrestlers and the people that I thought that they would be pushing. I thought Mustafa Ali was going to be that guy. But then I had to go and resonate to the fact that Mustafa Ali, they treated, what's homeboy's name that's at AEW now? Pac, right? Like, they treated him the same. I'm like, you have all the potential in the world and you squander it because you're hoping that you can get away with having two heavyweights and having a whole bunch of middleweights and flyweights and stuff like that. And then you're not even using them right. I hate to say this too early because it's only January. And plus, I got a lot of other shit going on. WrestleMania Philadelphia, it doesn't look appealing at all.
No.
It doesn't have the allure that it did when we found out that it would be happening in Philadelphia. I'm like, oh, it's going to be Philly. It's going to be fun. You know, the hotels were, at the time, they were cheap. We, like, all these things, right? And now I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't even like what the potential of a match could be. When we talked about WrestleMania in Philly, this was like a month before Bray passed away. This was like this. All these things happened in that time frame. So we're not getting Bray. I don't even know who could retire in the Hall of Fame. I feel like the Hall of Fame would probably be better than the actual like WrestleMania card. I think Andrade will end up coming back at Royal Rumble this year. I definitely think he'll be like entrant number like 16, 17 or something like that. I know they'll have a woman be a part of it. I'm not going to mention her this episode because I'm sick of talking about her. Everybody knows who she is. but but overall, like, I want to embrace wrestling again. I'm not like mad at it at all. I feel like there was a really good 2023. 2023 is the last like year that I can vividly remember us all collectively watching a pay-per-view and just being like absolutely enthused by it. We didn't do a best of when it comes to like best of wrestling, because it's like there were a lot of high points in wrestling in 2023. And then it was just like December happened and it was like, wait, why? Like we're going into December with nothing. And then here we are in January and it's like, The Rock is back. It was like that feeling when Goldberg came back for the third time. And it was like, okay.
Like, oh joy, now, yes, Goldberg.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. I'm okay. But with that being said, I'm absolutely enthused about the Royal Rumble. I'm ready for WrestleMania, Elimination Chamber. I'm ready for the WWE. AEW, I'm still kind of jaded on that. I'm trying to figure out what Khan wants to do. And at the way everything looks to be shaping up, there's going to be a lot of people leaving in the next 2 or 3 weeks because they want to be ahead of the WrestleMania train. They want to be like, hey, we're going to be in the first cart. We're gonna be in the non-talking cart because we can't talk about it yet. We can't go and tell anybody until Elimination Chamber and everything, or not even WrestleMania, like that little period before. But it just has so much potential. I really hope AEW figures it out. But there are too many people who are hedging their bets on AEW being like the 1B to WWE. And it was mainly because of the roster. And a lot of the, I think there were recent people I was reading that are saying that they don't really have an issue with Tony Khan. They're having an issue with it being too many people. And I completely understand it. I think their roster's at like 80 something people. I know it's like, it's in the 80s from what they were saying. Like, it's just like 80 people. We don't know what to do with them.
And it's like 4 televised shows on top of Ring of Honor.
Yeah. So you have way, you have a lot of volume, and we, ironically, there's no sweet spot because with WWE, we feel like they regurgitate the same people. And the irony in it is if we just took some of those AEW people and treated them better in WWE, or bring them back to WWE and treat them like they are, they would have 4 CM Punks right now if they just came back. I'm not going to list any names, but like for me, Pac, I feel like if he came back, he would be that guy. I could see him and I always call him the Demon. I always forget his goddamn name.
Finn Balor.
Him and Finn Balor. Like, that is like what like Brett and HBK could, you know, like that could be a part 2 of that if they treated that properly. But they won't because, again, they're pushing, they're like UFC. And now that ironically UFC kind of like is in partnership with WWE, it feels like they have classes of people, like classes of fighters, and then there's just everybody else. So when you think of like heavyweight, like the heavyweight division of UFC, you think of like Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier. The heavyweights in the WWE, you have like Seth Rollins, you have, you know, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, right? Like you have those. And then when you have like the light heavyweights, right? You have, you know, for wrestling, to me, I would put like CM Punk there because I feel like he is in that tier with, at least right now, like the Dominic Mysterios. And the only reason for that is because all the matches that he should have had, those people are gone. And all the matches that were potential, like he's not going to get them, right? So he's in that class where, I don't even say Dominic, because Dominic is more so like a, just a lightweight, not even a light heavyweight. So light heavyweight division would be like CM Punk, AJ Styles, like Bobby Lashley, Braun Strowman, like that is like the light heavyweight class. Then you have like the lightweight class. The lightweight class would be, I'm trying to think of like some names off the top of my head, right?
That would be more like your cruiserweights though, right?
Yeah, that would be like cruiserweights, right? So I'm thinking like with like lightweight cruiserweight, right? I would say like Carmelo Hayes. Like he's in that lightweight class. And let me see, I'm trying, like who else? Like Damian Priest. Like people who are like that. Dragon Lee, for example. Like I've been watching more Dragon Lee stuff. Like he would be in that class. Drew McIntyre should be a heavyweight, but he's treated like a lightweight because it's like he's always an afterthought. That's why his buddy ended up going over to AEW because, again, he wasn't being treated right. And now I'm looking at WWE's roster. This shit is crazy. Like, they have names that I'm just like, wait, like, just looking at them, like, for example, Gunther, for example, we talked about him every day or every episode for like the past like 5 or 6 episodes about how good he is and, you know, how he should be the guy. So honestly, if The Rock doesn't beat Roman, and it's not Gunther, it can't be anybody because everybody else has been buried, right? looking else, like Jade, everybody, I'm trying to think, like Jade would be considered like the heavyweight of, you know, like the women's division, even though she hasn't wrestled a single match there, but that's how they're carrying her. Like, that's who she's going to be. Right. Who was the guy who came back? No, he switched shows. The Uso, Jay Uso. Like, he's a lightweight. Uso. Yeah, like, he's considered that. But there were so many people, I'm like, yo, if they just treated them right and they just put them in, like, the proper, not even a weight class, if they had weight classes, though, and they put them with the right people, we would see some feuds that are good. Like, I would love to see a feud with Johnny Gargano and AJ Styles. Like, that's, like, if they prepped that storyline right, mm-hmm. and just had that be, like, night one of WrestleMania, not a main event, but, like, mid-card, like, tell us a good story, make it a good match, them two mm-hmm. makes sense to me, right? Like, but, again, just looking at this roster, I'm like, okay, I see a lot of AEW people who I've never seen before, and then I see a lot of people who just make sense. We were just talking about Carmelo Hayes, and we talked about him versus Montez Ford. That has to happen. Like, I would love to see that happen. I know they're going to, like, slow roll Seth. That. Yeah, him versus
Seth. I want to see Carmelo versus Seth. Love to see that, yeah.
Imagine that at WrestleMania. Imagine them having this. And you know they're going to have a stare down at, well, they can't because of, what's the name? Because of Seth being a champ or whatever. But just imagine if that was a face-off at Royal Rumble, right? I would like to see that, but I guess what's best for business right now is allowing Roman to pretty much be the expired milk in the fridge. He's the highlight that's never there. So we shall see. AEW, I talked about that. New Japan, I promise I'm going to get on that again. I'm going to
do what
I'm supposed to. So
yes.
Again, I'm going to do it, even if I have to watch it, like, you know, later on in the afternoon, we'll just do like the replays because they have it on like Plex and stuff. I'll watch that. Mm-hmm. But I promise myself I will watch more wrestling because a lot of other sports just, I don't say they're not doing it for me, but it's like a lot of them are going to be ending. So Lou and I are going to be trying to figure out, okay, well, what can we watch now? And UFC is not going to cut the mustard. Basketball is pretty much like shit in the bed. So wrestling for me, if it can entertain me, it has to start now. It has to be something where it's like, okay, hey, by the way, NXT, I got to watch you. WWE, got to watch you. New Japan, got to watch you. But you have to keep it entertaining. I can't do that, what I was doing in 2023, where it's like, okay, I would miss 3 weeks. But as long as the pay-per-view is good, I can just grade it because like I've seen a few things here and there. I want to be that wrestling fan I used to be, where it's like, I know who mm-hmm. these people are. Even if I only seen them wrestle once, I know who they are at least. But it just felt like, there was just like sensory overload with the same people to the point where I got bored. Like Jericho is one of my favorite people. I got tired of looking at him on TV. I was like, fuck, mm-hmm. like again?
Yeah.
And then they gave him like 15-minute segments. I'm like, bro, you know what? I'm okay. So that's my spiel on wrestling. I promised y'all I wasn't going to talk about her, and I will not. We're back at it next week though, because she has not pissed me off since New Year's. So. Yeah. Did you have anything else on wrestling?
Well, just New Japan had their big event of the year, Wrestle Kingdom 18. Yeah, like I said, definitely go back and watch that, because if you want some great storytelling, New Japan is doing it right now. Like I said, there was a lot of titles on the line, but the biggest story of the night was the main event for the IWGP. World Heavyweight title. Champion Sonata put his title on the line against Tetsuya Naito, who was a G1 Climax winner, but they were also former stablemates. If you remember me talking about Sonata left LIJ around New Japan Cup, so that was around June, July, maybe, mm-hmm. and decided to go his own way with just five guys. But really, when I'm talking about storytelling, there's such a story between the two of them that goes back to tryouts for New Japan. Naito made the cut, Sonata didn't. He had to go his own way and circle back to New Japan years later. And that's when he meets up again with Tetsuya Naito. He brings them into the LIJ collective. But what you kind of noticed was Sonata, he kind of stalled. He was really coasting. You know what I'm saying? When you got a collective full of guys who are all champions or able to be champions in their own right, it's easy to get lost in the shuffle, right? So yeah, that's really sure. where he was. And, you know, he was losing matches he should have won. So it was like, nah, he got to do something different. He was being overlooked by his mentor, Keiji Muto, Great Muta. Yeah, so he was like, yeah, I got to get it together. So that's when New Japan Cup runs around. He's like, yeah, I gotta break away, do my own thing. So he leaves LIJ. He wins the New Japan Cup. And then he defeats Okada for the world title. So now he's the world champion and actually the longest reigning world champion so far. He actually beat Shingo Takagi's record. So now he's the longest reigning. Now talking about Tetsuya Naito in the G1 climax. Naito not really able to have his main event moment for years. And really, and this is what I mean by really long-term storytelling in New Japan. Because if you really look at Naito's story, it's one of the most long enduring stories in New Japan because he was a good guy, he was a babyface, and then the fans turned on him. He goes to Mexico, becomes one of LIJ. In fact, Andrade and Rush brought him in when they was Los Ingobernables, right? So then it was like, all right, you go to Japan, you start LIJ, and then you run that. So that's when he started his collective with Sonata, Bushi, and Hiromu and all them. But yeah. he never had a Wrestle Kingdom main event like he always wanted. Every time he came close, it was like he would either lose the title or he wasn't in the main event or he would have his moment stolen by getting attacked by somebody. So Wrestle Kingdom 18 rolls around. He wins the match, right? Defeated Sonata. It's very emotional. And he was attacked again by Evil.
Wow.
So once again, his Wrestle Kingdom moment is about to be messed up. But Sonata came in, beat up Evil, and Naito was able to have his moment. And it was a very emotional roll call for LIJ. And I had to shed some thug tears. Like, it was an emotional story. And I mean, and if you really know, like, somebody like a Sonata, like, he actually cried leaving the ring. And if you know him as this cold skull, he's very stoic, no emotion. He rarely even talked when he was in LIJ. So to see him, brand new look, former world champion, he's emotional now. It's a totally different person. Like, that's the kind of story that you don't see in wrestling every day. So, you know, yeah. So basically, go back and check Wrestle Kingdom 18. Check out New Year's Dash, what came out the next day, because there were a couple of notable folks that showed up at both nights. Nick Nemeth, formerly known as Dolph Ziggler, showed up at the Tokyo Dome. He got heat already. So let's see what they do with him. Matt Riddle, the original bro, he showed up at...
I'm sorry. I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
They said his name. What's his name though? Not Dolph.
Yeah, Nick Nemeth.
Wait, he changed his name?
Yeah, that's actually his original name.
Get out of here, yo!
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, that was his original name before Dolph Ziggler.
Oh,
wow!
Yep.
Well,
yeah. Right.
The more you know, bro. Like, wow.
Yeah.
What? See, and this is why Cashley is like the wrestling expert on the show, because I've learned. I've learned more from Cashley than the fucking Facebook groups, and I still shit on them forever because fuck them. I really hate some of the wrestling groups. But keep going. Keep going.
Yeah, so like, you know, and then the next night, Matt Riddle, y'all know him from the WWE. He showed up to challenge Hiroshi Tanahashi, who is the new TV champion. He won that on Wrestle Kingdom as well. So yeah, look for Matt Riddle to face Tanahashi at some point. So
does he
yeah,
have socks
I
on
mean,
at least?
Well, well, here's the thing, right?
Oh my god!
Well, see, here's how New Japan brings people in. They'll have this huge video package for them. That's how they introduce people. right? So so he appeared via the Yale. Right. So wow. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty exciting where, you know, the moves being made and the people coming in and the title changes. Bryan Danielson was on Wrestle Kingdom against Okada. Some will call that match of the night. It was cool, match of the year for some. But for me, my match was Shingo Takagi versus Tama Tonga for the Never Open Weight. If y'all not familiar with that title, it's probably, you'll probably get some of the hardest hitting matches, some of the most organically tough matches, but they'd be so good. It's like, wow, you got to see it over and over again. You know what I'm saying? And these two totally cooked with grease for that match. So for me, that was the match of the night.
So now I have to go back and watch, like, I need to go and look again because this sounds more exciting than the last 4 weeks of SmackDown, the last like month of Raw. Like, because even Lou was like, wait, like, yeah, like he knew. So again, I got to go one on Twitter and follow the right people again, the right beat writers. And then I have to do some research because, God, it seems like there's so much good wrestling. And I'm like laser focused on the stuff that I complain about because I want it to be better, but there's other better products out. So,
Greg, you don't have to follow anybody. Just follow Ashley. I mean, she, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's the.
Yeah. You know, and
don't be all. She knows everything about it. That's all we have to do, just ask her.
Right.
Yeah, and shout out to a young lady named Lyric. She's a Black woman. She's a wrestling fan. In fact, she's a serious wrestling columnist. She's done like some real heavy interviews with like not only American wrestlers, but Japanese wrestlers. And shout out to her because we all know, you know, kind of being Black wrestling fans, but especially being a Black woman wrestling fan is like... Is something else. So shout out to her, definitely. I definitely value her insight. I'd say keep your eyes on Japanese wrestling. It's a lot going on. They have a big event next week called Battle in the Valley. Stay tuned for that one. Jon Moxley's going to be on it. I believe Bryan Danielson is going to be on that one too. Okada. Julia Trisha Dora, who's another Black wrestler, she's going to be on that one too for the title. Stay tuned.
I'm for sure.
And this is what Greg was talking about earlier. This is where I wish we could bet on wrestling because I would throw my whole paycheck that Moxley gets cut open.
Yes.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Somehow,
he did bleed during Wrestle Kingdom.
How,
he bled.
He bleed.
Yeah. Yes. Can you imagine if that was like a part, like you could parlay that with like, okay, like, you know, LeBron, 30 points, Moxley, blood. You're like, wait, what the fuck? And then you put $500 on it and then that's the one pay-per-view he doesn't bleed. You're like, wait, what? Because you know it's going to happen.
Yeah. Because there was actually a pay-per-view where he didn't bleed.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know if this is true. I got to do some research on it. But I swear, it feels like DraftKings partnered with WWE for WrestleMania. I feel like there were matches that you could bet on for WrestleMania. I can't.
Well, I believe they
came out early last year, I think, and said something that they were talking about. You know, having some sort of betting platform for wrestling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think they should have it.
I do too.
Yeah, like I know it's going to sound crazy. It would make me not only watch wrestling more, but it just can't be WWE exclusive. Like, I need to have like an investment in like New Japan or, you know, AEW, because watching those like the over and unders on people that you don't know, you're like, wait a minute, now I have to pay attention to them. I have to start noticing who they are, which to me would again. It'd make me money, but it also would have people be my favorites. Cause I'm like, great. Now I can, for a fact, I can know that's the person I need to follow. They made me money. That's my favorite wrestler now. So, God, man. Yeah. I cannot I cannot wait. I know WrestleMania is going to have gambling. So I'm going to do my research next week. I'm going to see if there is one. At least
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's on DraftKings. I feel like DraftKings had WWE, but maybe there is a wrestling like betting platform. And if they aren't, like, we should be the first ones who are sponsored by them because we're the only ones talking about it. So I'm going to do some research on that. Yeah, let me go ahead. Let me see. Let me write that down now. Wrestling betting platform. Yeah, but if anybody is listening to the Sports Desk and you do know of a wrestling betting platform and you want us to host it, yeah, we'll do the whole, hey,
you know,
you get $200 free, you know, with your first $10 using the code YBB, and then, you know, we get the residual. I'm with that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did you have anything else with wrestling, or?
No, that's pretty much it for the wrestling segment.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. Obviously, like, I guess people are going to have to learn our new format where it's just like, we going to get straight to the point. Ain't going to be no 2.5 hour shows unless it's like the, obviously, you know, a time where we have a lot to talk about. We have a guest. So moving right along, we have the college football. So Washington Huskies are playing right now on TV, the Michigan Wolverines. I haven't been able to actually watch this game because I am not the biggest college football fan, but I have appreciated it for my pockets when it comes to, guess what? Sports betting. But Lou has actually told me previously at the beginning of like college season and stuff like that, how to properly bet on college sports. And I made a critical mistake of believing in the Deion hype in Colorado. I easily lost money there.
We all did.
Yeah. So let's talk about this college football season. Then we're going to the championship. How did you feel overall? Do you feel like it was a good college football season? Bad? How'd you feel?
I mean, it was okay. You know, you had your surprises, you had your disappointments. Mm-hmm. I know, like, after that they picked the four teams to go to the college football playoff, that Florida State was pretty pissed off that they didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the committee made the right decision by not inviting them, because look what Georgia did to them. Like,
yep.
But I think they beat them 63-3, something like that.
Yeah.
It would have been the same thing in the national playoff, like if they were in the playoff too. So,
yeah.
As far as like, you know, the top four playing each other and everything, I've enjoyed it. What I have watched, I've been flicking channels tonight, so it's halftime right now. Michigan's up 17-10.
Wow. Okay, still close.
Yeah, still close. Still a good game. So. At least it's not like a blowout or nothing. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sort of in the same boat as you. I'm not a huge college football fan, but I like to watch it because of sports betting. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm enjoying it. Next year is the big one, because that's when they expand the college football playoff from 14 to 12 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So. Then we'll see how everything goes there.
Okay. Well, I guess what we'll do is next year we'll be talking about it. You know, someone will say, oh, well, you know, you guys are talking about college football. I'm like, yeah, we are. Not too much, but we'll talk enough. We'll talk about it enough. But I guess that's it for them. So let's move on. Because, actually, no, we need to talk about the prediction of who you think is going to win for tonight. Do you think Michigan's going to continue to win?
I mean,
or do you?
Beforehand, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Before the game started, I thought Michigan would win, but I also thought that Washington would cover the 5.5 point spread.
Mm-hmm.
And like what little I have watched of it, because that looks like the first quarter, like Michigan was just like all over Washington and Michael Penix and everything. But if it's 17-10 at halftime, it's a one score game. So I'm going to change my prediction. I'm going to take Washington to win this game.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm definitely going to throw a couple dollars on the money line for you because, again, I'm not the college football guy. And since it's Washington, I'm going to go with Washington. I do want Michigan to finally get what they think they deserve, but ultimately I like to win money. And when I see a plus sign in front of a number, hopefully I put a couple dollars on it and I win. So let's go with Washington. So let's go Washington. I'll leave it there. What time is it? Right now, the time we're recording is 9:34, and I'm guaranteeing we're getting out of here at 10, probably sooner. Let's go immediately into the NFL season. Actually, we don't even need to talk about the NFL season. We're going directly into the playoffs because the season was just kind of like up and down. But we need to start where we always should have started and how we started at the beginning of the football season, talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to leave room for Lou to talk his shit because he told me and he promised that he was not going to say anything until the end of the regular season. And here we are. So, Lou, the floor is yours.
All right. As far as the Steelers go, and, you know, I said at the beginning of the season, you know, everybody had questions about Kenny Pickett. And I, you know, basically I just said, hey, just let him, you know, it was his first year, second year, whatever it was. But this is his rookie year. I'm sorry. He didn't impress me at all. All right. And through the first half of the season, three quarters of the season, all you heard from Pittsburgh fans, media, everything was to fire Matt Canada, their offensive coordinator. Well, they finally did. And right after they fired him, I believe it was a game against Cincinnati where in Cincinnati, Pittsburgh went in there and they beat him. So I was like, okay, all right, this is good. Then they went and lost two straight to 2-2-10 teams, the Arizona Cardinals and the New England Patriots. Kenny got hurt. Mason Rudolph. Well, no, I'm sorry. It was Mitch Trubisky who started. That game is where I think everything turned around right there because Mitch Trubisky, you know, I'm not going to be rude, but the guy sucks. He's not an NFL quarterback. He never really was.
Yeah.
So in steps Mason Rudolph. I don't know why. But when they benched Trubisky and started Rudolph, I said they should have did this 3 weeks ago. So far, Rudolph has, what is that? I think he's won three out of the last four or three in a row, something like that.
I think it was three in a row.
The Steelers in a playoff. They're in the playoffs. So, everyone's going to say, do you think that he just needed time to play or should he have started over Pickett? And now everyone's talking about, well, did we trade Kenny Pickett? I don't know. I really don't know. I want to say give the guy a chance, but he really hasn't showed much when given that chance, even with the new offensive coordinator. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's like he's gotten everything that they said he needed. As much as we've talked about like the receivers there and like the offense there, they're better than most. Like, when I look at their roster, we were saying this, you know, preseason. We're like, you know what? They're better than they're leading on. They actually are pretty, you know, pretty solid, you know, as a team. And it seems like I don't say they all get along, but they seem like a stout team. And there's nothing wrong with that. My issue has always been, like, was it Trubisky? Like, and it just seems like, and you just convinced me because, I mean, if we've been talking about the same guy for 2 years doing less than nothing, more than likely you're going to continue to do less than nothing, right? So,
exactly.
I'm not saying Mason Rudolph is the answer, but he's definitely not a problem. He's helped them more than he's hurt them. And to win three straight, I think that's a big fucking deal. He also kept his coach job this year because a lot was in question. You know, they weren't talking about this 17 weeks in a row a couple weeks ago at all. They were just like, oh, it is what it is. Like, you know, he has a chance of being hired, but he has a chance of being fired, right? But now they're in the playoffs. And I mean, I don't say they have an easy route, but they definitely have the, when I look at the schedule for the AFC, they got it easy.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say easy, but
yeah.
It's a whole new season, so anything's possible. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everybody is, you know, clean slate, 0-0.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have, and you know, I've said this before. I said this earlier in the season too. The Steelers, I think, don't fact check. Well, you can't fact check me, but I'm not positive. But I think they were the first, six seed before they expanded the wild card to win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Did they do it again? Who knows? I mean, it all starts in Buffalo next Sunday.
Yeah,
you know. We'll see. I'm excited for it. I'm really, really excited for it.
Well, going into that, let's go straight to the playoffs then and how it ended up working. Well, I don't think at this point, like with the sports does, I think a lot of people are listening to see what's happening in the future and, you know, what's happening as of current and not us telling them the scores of all of that. We can do that, but just not this week because we have a tight timeline here. So with the AFC, we have, you know, for the, what do you call it, the wild card weekend, right? We have the Steelers playing against Buffalo. We have Kansas City hosting the Miami Dolphins. And we have Houston hosting the Chicago, I'm sorry, the, I almost said Chicago, Jesus Christ, the Cleveland Browns. In the AFC, obviously, Baltimore has, you know, run the gauntlet on a bunch of these teams. And as a result, they have the bye. Now, we can just give our quick predictions. But before we do that, I want to like put this little nugget out that I found out because it went from being a conspiracy theory to a, you know what? Sounds pretty plausible, which is the Super Bowl logo. It's happening in Vegas this year, February 11th at 6:30 p.m. on CBS. And the logo for this Super Bowl just happens to have the accent colors of like a purple and an orangish red, right? Now, a lot of people have alluded to it being, meaning that there's going to be a team in purple and a team in red, or it could be a team in blue and a team in orange, right? And it's just like, you know, the accent color. Again, I just wanted to lead in with that because going into our predictions is why I wanted to start with the AFC because the highlighted color, the one that's the most, is usually the team that loses in the Super Bowl. And this is just historic from the Rams and Bengals. If you look at their logo for the Super Bowl, clearly the Rams colors were the least amount, right? So we'll just take that there. So let's start with the AFC, then we'll move on to the NFC. And then if you want to go up into the Super Bowl, we can. Who do you have for the Steelers and the Bills?
I mean, Buffalo has been really hot second half of the season. They just beat Miami in Miami. The Steelers are going to be without T.J. Watt. He got hurt. So as much as it pains me to say this, nah, screw that. I'm taking Pittsburgh. Upset. I can't bet against my boy. I can't.
Okay. That's fair. I'm not going to say I'll allow it, but anything is possible, right? So I'm going with Buffalo for that first game. I don't have a storyline behind it. I'm going to say Buffalo. Next game, Miami versus Kansas City. Who do you have?
I'm taking Miami.
Wow. So we're just being contrarian today. Okay. All right. All right. So I'm going to go with Kansas City. I'm going with Kansas City, and I'll explain the method to my madness, because someone had to talk me into this last night, and I said, you know what? I'm going to put in the parlay for it. So now, since the parlay is out, I'm going to actually go by my parlay. So I said Kansas City, you say Miami. Let's move on to the next game. The Houston Texans are hosting the Cleveland Browns. Who do you have?
Houston.
What the? Wow. I went with the upset.
They are the Cleveland Browns. And I'm not picking, like, just because, you know, I'm a Steelers fan, I'm picking against Cleveland. You know, they've been on fire, too. You know, Joe Flacco has found the fountain of youth, whatever the hell you want to call it. But Houston is just on another level right now. And C.J. Stroud is playing, like, out of his mind.
Okay. Well, you know, again, when we get to the narrative, then we'll go there. So we'll go with that. So
fair enough.
Actually, let's just do the whole AFC, and then we'll go to the NFC, and we'll just take it to the Super Bowl. Just an early prediction. That way, next week after, we can be like, dang, like, that was kind of wrong. This was kind of right, whatever. So, by your estimation, for the divisional, you have the Pittsburgh Steelers playing the Miami Dolphins. Who do you have winning that game?
Miami.
Miami. Okay. That leads them into the AFC Championship. We have to figure out who wins between Baltimore and the Houston Texans.
Houston.
Get the... Wow. Wow. Oh, my God. So you're just going upset city. You're going upset city for this.
It's just... I mean, you know, I didn't... I'm not going to sit here and say it's going to be, you know, Houston's going to blow them out or anything. I just think there's something with Houston this year. I don't know what it is.
So is it it's not purple, it's blue, like that logo? It's not purple like everybody thinks. It's actually a mix of the blue and the red making that purple. That's why that purple is there. You know what?
Could be.
Blue, you may be on to something. Lou, we might have to put $20 on Houston being the AFC champions. We may have to. I think you're on to something really major here, bro. So, hold on. Here we go. We have Rando Facts, and let's see what he has to say.
Hey, bro, I just started listening to what bro just said when you asked him, Baltimore or the Colts, or the Texans. And he said the Texans. This is why I love sports. Because although I unyieldingly disagree with my boy, he's entitled to that opinion. And boys in the playoff, they got a shot.
Yes.
Which is chance.
Yes. Yes. So just by your estimation, Lou, right now, the AFC Championship to get into the Super Bowl, you have. You said Pittsburgh Steelers would beat Miami, right?
No.
You said Miami. You have the Miami Dolphins versus the Houston Texans, which honestly, that may be one of the most exciting AFC championships I've ever seen or heard of. So you have the Miami Dolphins. I'm writing this down. Okay. Versus the Houston Texans. Okay. So who wins that game?
I'm sticking with Houston.
Houston. You got Houston going all the way. Okay. All right. Now, for me, dang, you kind of threw me off there, bro. So, I had shit. So who'd I have? I had Cleveland, Kansas City, Buffalo. Right. So I had them. So, I have Kansas City beating Baltimore, and I have, not Buffalo, Baltimore. Kansas City beating Baltimore, and I have, is it them? Yeah, it is them. I have the Steelers ended up losing to Buffalo, and then Buffalo ends up beating Miami and going to the AFC Championships, and it was going to be both Baltimore and Buffalo in the AFC Championship. So I'll leave it there. And then I'll just say I went with Baltimore. So I have Baltimore going to the Super Bowl. Now let's go to the AFC really quick, because we got roughly 10 minutes and anything else that was left on the docket can be tabled till next week. So we have the NFC. We have the San Francisco 49ers having the bye week, but let's go into the wild card week. We have the Green Bay Packers going against the Dallas Cowboys. We have the Rams going against the fucking Detroit Lions. Who would have ever thought? In Detroit, home game. After that, we also have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing the Philadelphia Eagles. And this is, Lou, I think this may be where you end up breaking the brackets. I feel like you're going to say something and it's going to be like, you know what? Whatever Lou says, just get your parlays ready, everybody. Rando facts, anybody who is listening. Whatever Lou says, if this shit comes true and you haven't put it in your tickets now, like right now, if I don't even know what it looks like on the sports books, but wherever Houston is, on, like just to be AFC champions, it has to be high. It has to be high. When I look at the playoff specials and then I see like conferences, right now, the Houston Texans are plus 2,500 right now.
Ooh.
I'm going to put $1.68 on them right now. $1.68.
Why not?
That will, why not? Like $42. Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah, mm-hmm. give me that. Yeah, so I'm putting my money on that because Lou said it, so it has to be spoken into existence. But let's get to the NFC. So Lou, who do you have winning between Dallas and Green Bay?
Dallas.
Okay. That's fair. That is fair. I went with Dallas as well. The Rams versus the Lions. Who do you have?
I think this game is going to be like, I just have a feeling this game is going to be like a 48-45 game. I really do.
Yep.
But I'm taking Detroit.
You're taking Detroit. I'm doing the opposite. I'm going with the Rams. I'm going with the fucking Rams. I have Goff going back home, and pretty much
you know, both quarterbacks are going to their old team.
Yeah, but the thing is, he was treated so bad in Detroit.
It's time,
and I can't wait. It's going to be delicious. And the last game of the wild card weekend, the Eagles going to Tampa Bay to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who you got?
Tampa.
Same. That fucking finger with Jalen Hurts. That said it all for me. It's only one or two things that can happen. Eagles run the table because they're going to have this narrative of his finger and shit, or they lose to Tampa, and then we hear a whole bunch of, wait a minute, if Brady can do it, Baker can do it, and you know it's going to happen, Lou. You know for a fact it's going to happen. And when it does, I'll be sitting here waiting. I'll be sitting here waiting like, God damn it, we were right. Let's move on to the next round, though.
Okay. I was just going to say, I think teams like over the past 4 or 5 weeks have figured Philly out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their secondary is garbage.
Yep.
I mean, they're horrible.
Yeah. So, again, right now, you have, according to this, you have the Cowboys going against Detroit, and you have San Francisco going against Baker and Tampa Bay in the NFC divisional. Who do you have winning first between San Francisco and Tampa Bay?
San Francisco.
Okay. And who do you have against Dallas and the Rams?
Well, I picked Detroit.
Oh, you picked Detroit. I'm sorry. And Detroit.
You picked the Rams.
Yeah, I did. I was trying to trick you.
No, you're fine. I'm going to take Detroit beating Dallas.
Okay. You know what? That is fair. I won't say we will allow it. It just is what it is. So for me, I will say, you know, just to be fair, we will go and I will say that I have Dallas beating the Rams, because that was my two teams, and I have San Francisco beating the, I think I said Tampa too, so they'll beat Tampa as well. So that's who I have. And then we move on to the next round, which is the NFC Championship. We have two different matchups here. We've kind of been all over the place with the playoffs, but again, 2,500 for Houston, y'all. 2,500 for Houston plus going to the Super Bowl. And whatever team wins the NFC Championship is going to play, according to Lou, the Houston Texans in the Super Bowl in Vegas. So you have right now, you have the San Francisco 49ers going against, who'd you pick? Was it Dallas or Detroit? You said Detroit, right?
Detroit, yeah.
Yeah, so San Francisco versus Detroit. Who do you have?
I'm taking the Lions.
Yeah, ooh. I'm
taking the Lions. Ooh. They're going to figure out Brock Purdy. They're going to figure out Brock Purdy.
Lou?
Yeah?
I love you like a brother, bro. Let me explain to you what your... So, right now, if you go... and you put $10 on the Houston Texans and the Detroit Lions winning the NFC Championship, with $10 on that, that is $2,720. The parlay is, ironically, $27,200. I can't make this up. If you put $3 on this right now, that is $816. I am putting $3 on it right now. I'm putting $3 as we speak, because you have actually spoken truth to power, not because of what you said. It's because the logo. Every time I look at this logo now, your teams that you have in the Super Bowl are the Detroit Lions and the Houston Texans. But when you look at the actual logo, it looks like it's blue and like blue or purple and red. But if you look at their logos, Detroit is like a light blue. Houston is obviously a dark blue, and it has the red. So all those colors match up. And I am going to... God. Let me just pick my picks. So ultimately, for the NFC Championship, I had a rematch between San Francisco and Dallas, right? And then I had San Francisco going and playing Baltimore, which was essentially what everybody is expecting, right? And then I had San Francisco finally winning. My alternative was to have the rematch of the COVID Bowl or the COVID Super Bowl, which was truthfully just Kansas City versus San Francisco again. Both teams, you know, actually healthy. They play in, you know, a neutral stadium, even though Vegas stadium is kind of garbage. As you all probably saw on Twitter, the field is not that great because of like the humidity and just like the, you know, how Allegiant is set up. But yeah, I had Baltimore and San Francisco, and Lou has Houston and Detroit.
Two completely different.
That is absolutely bonkers. I would have never thought that. I would have never thought Lou would say that. But I definitely put $3 on it, because I have a sneaky suspicion that Lou works for the books. He's telling us in advance, hey, by the way, this is going to happen. Because Lou, I'm telling you, I'm looking at this and this is stunning to me. This is amazing. That
if I worked for the books, you and me could both retire. Okay.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. I got to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah. That, me as well. So okay. Let me see. We got 3 minutes left on the show. What did we not talk about that, you know, we could have touched on? I was going to touch on Draymond. We'll see next week.
Yeah,
we'll
do this week. I just read about Dre a little bit today.
Yeah,
that was rough. Go ahead. We could do that real quick.
Yo, go for it. Because I didn't read up on it. I just saw. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I saw the headline too. It just basically Draymond was thinking about retiring, and Adam Silver, the commish, talked him out of it. So,
wow.
Right. I don't know what to think about it. I know Adam Silver wanted him to go to like anger management classes and, you know, stuff like that. But I didn't read the whole story. I just saw a couple headlines about it. What do you think about it?
Anything's possible. Let me just start with that. I wouldn't be mad if Draymond retired, honestly, because I won't say I don't like the guy. Is when you play the way he plays, it's hard to like him, though. Exactly. It's hard to campaign for him. So the woe is me, like, I'm going to retire. I'm like, so? Like, I know that sounds really fucked up and, like, it feels disingenuous, but when you know what his nature is, it's like, he's going to be good. He's set for life. Like, he's good. And with his podcast, yeah, he's going to literally be Kwame Brown and every other ex-NBA player who's just going to talk shit about everybody for the next 3 to 4 years. And that's fine, too. But, again, for me, I just, I can go with it or with it, you know, without it. He was great. He'll absolutely be a Hall of Famer for his accolades, but he's always going to be criticized for his antics. And that's just pretty much how I feel.
Right. Okay? People will say Draymond Green, and they're going to think of the dirty player. They're not going to think of the, you know, what, three-time, four-time NBA champion, defensive player of the year, wasn't he, I think, 1 year? So, yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, that just, you know, again, I can go with it or without it. That's fine for me. Ironically, I looked at our docket. We talked about everything. We talked about the college football. We talked about the NFL. We did the, you know, the Super Bowl. We went through the entire predictions. So we got to stand on that now. You said Houston's going to win. I said San Francisco's going to win.
Yep.
Yeah. And not, mind you, every week that goes by, I'm just letting everybody know the odds are going to drop. So I would heavily suggest y'all go and y'all put in lose because, Lou, I'm telling you, $3 for $876, and that's not for whoever's going to win the Super Bowl. That's just for the two teams that are going in.
Mm-hmm.
And
but yeah, that's just for them to make it there.
That is crazy to me. So I threw a couple dollars. I'm not going to lie. I would like to see that money happen. It's only 4 weeks.
I'm probably gonna have to wait a couple days, and then I'll put it on. We'll see what their odds are by like Thursday, Friday. But
yeah, for the game
Saturday, so the odds shouldn't drop that much.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, we should make some pretty money because right now I'm looking at my FanDuel, and I promised myself I'm not putting any more money in there till payday. Mm-hmm. To payday. Actually, no, because I just used $2 to put the other bet in. So now I have $6 in there. So the live bet. Now, I put in, let me just say this really, really quick. So I put in a live bet, right? While we were talking, and I was supposed to put it on for Lou. I'm sorry, Lou. I will send you the other one.
Don't worry about it. It's all good, man.
I had a $5 bet that was supposed to give me $111, right? It was for Fred VanVleet and Tyler Hero to score 30 points apiece. Fred VanVleet had 32. Tyler Hero had 28. Hmm. Yeah. It's shit like that. It is absolutely shit like that. But oh, and someone just posted another live bet. So I'm going to send this one to Lou right now. Because this actual time to put this one in. But yeah, like overall, we talked about everything we needed to talk about for the sports desk this week. I'm really anticipating every game except for the Kansas City game because, truthfully, I'm not going to download Peacock in order to watch this game. I refuse. Yeah, I think the NFL's.
I mean, yeah, I have it too, but yeah, I just think with the NFL doing that, even though it's the playoffs. Like, why would you put it on, like, a streaming service that, like, most people don't have, you know?
Exactly.
Money, of course, but, you know.
Yeah, but it's like, at some point, you have to think about the people who are going to watch that. And I understand you can always do a trial. But fuck the trials. Just give us what we want. Like, we want to be able to watch the games. Accessibility is everything in sports. So if you're going and taking away the accessibility, it doesn't make sense. I think Lou and I, when we, like, at the beginning of the basketball season, they were giving us NBA ticket if we, what was it? I keep calling it NBA ticket, but NBA league pass for 3 months if we just spent $10, right? You just gamble $10 and you get the league pass, right? Now, me, I stream my games because I'm like, after, I'll forget to cancel the trial and end up having to pay the $199, and I'm not doing that. And plus, with streaming, the games are even better. So there's no point to me, right? However, I tried to put in the code yesterday. I was like, oh, I still have my code. It still should be active. FanDuel was like, yeah, no. You didn't take us up on the opportunity then. But guess what? Can't do it now. So you know what I did? I just said, oh, well, bite the bullet. I lost, but it's fine. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a voicemail. We have a voicemail. Again, I think just from Randall Fax. I would love to get his final predictions. We're going to leave, the end of the show with his voicemail. Here we go.
I think the Ravens going to represent the AFC. I think Green Bay's getting smacked. Fuck them. My best man. I'll pray for my downfall. I'm going the Lions go to the second round. The Lions go to the NFC Championship because fuck Dallas, but then lose to the Niners. The Niners go to the Super Bowl. Give me the Ravens. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I love to see it. You got to love to see it.
Of course.
You know what? So next week we're expecting Randall Fax to come in here and tell us, as well as we have somebody in the group by the name of Positive Person. I'll give him an opportunity to tell us what his Super Bowl predictions are, knowing the teams that are going into the playoffs and the wild card. I'll give him. Oh, he's already gone, so we ain't got to worry about that. But I will say this: again, $3 for $876 for lose. Having wow. Houston win it all. Not win it all. I'm sorry, Houston and who's the other team you said?
Detroit.
Houston and Detroit. So, if just by the grace of God, when it comes to Super Bowl races, right, we go to more NFL on FanDuel, and we just say Super Bowl, right? It has the Houston Texans at plus 7,000. $10 wins $700. If I only had imagine if I had $700, $70 to just say, you know what, I'm just going to throw it on this parlay. That's $7,000 because Lou bet it. And for anybody who's been listening to the sports desk, they know that we've been pretty spot on with a lot of the shit that we've said. We both said, okay, we didn't want to predict the Steelers' wins and losses, but we knew for a fact it was going to be over 8.5. We guaranteed that. And it happened, right? We also said that there were a lot of hot takes that we said that were, wrong. We said some that were right, but for the most part, we've been pretty fucking accurate. We were accurate about the Aaron Rodgers thing. We were accurate about the Jets this year. I think we both said over 4.5, and they ended up getting, 6? So that was nice. What other games? The Commanders? We were actually right about them too, because I think Q at the time said that they were going to have six and a half or 7.5, and they didn't do it because again, it's the fucking Washington Commanders. I'll leave the show with saying this: outside of the playoffs and the Super Bowl, one thing that needs to be tracked is wherever Bill Belichick is going, because I really think people think that he is like a motivating factor in turning a losing team into a winning one. And I just don't think that's true.
I don't either. I completely agree with what you're saying.
So just know next week, that's what we're going to talk about. And we can talk about that at length. We don't really need to, again, with football, there's only so much. We've already done really our predictions. We'll just have to fine tune them. But overall, I just don't think that Belichick is the answer. And from what they're talking about, he has the opportunity to pick where he wants to go. It's like, wait, a losing coach gets to pick? That's crazy. But sure, we'll see. With that being said, y'all have listened to another episode of The Sports Desk. I'm Greg. That is Lou. Thank y'all for listening. And we will see you next week. Peace, y'all.
Peace out, y'all. Have a great night.
Hey, do you have the Wi-Fi password? Common words everyone has said in an airport, coffee shop, or any public place with free internet. Don't fall victim to internet hackers while using free internet thanks to NordVPN. NordVPN is one of those services you tell yourself you don't need until it's too late. We've used the NordVPN to browse the web, check bank accounts, and even stream apps like Netflix. It's the only VPN service that lets you bypass ISPs, perfect for when your job has sites you frequent like Facebook is blocked. It's the best VPN service you can get for both price and performance. Install NordVPN on up to 6 devices, including your smartphone, tablet, and desktop, and experience the service for yourself. Start protecting yourself and your content with NordVPN by heading over to nordvpn.com/YBAB at checkout and save 75% on your subscription.